How can we fill the 400-year gap between the Old and New Testaments? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September is the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. You can find out more about this new resource at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Apocrypha by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with study notes. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the last half hour of this Friday's program, we're going to be talking about the bronze serpent. That's Numbers chapter 21. It's a famous story that reoccurs both in the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament, where Jesus will even compare himself to this serpent raised up on a pole and say that something greater is going to be happening when someone looks to him in faith, even greater than being saved from fatal snake bite, as it occurred in Numbers chapter 21. Joining us to teach this Sunday school lesson, Pastor Tom Baker. He's director of development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
The last time we talked, the children of Israel had made a first approach to the promised land. They sent in the spies, and then they decided not to go in, even though God had promised that they could go in. 40 years have passed by Numbers 21. Why those 40 years? Why did they wander in the wilderness?
Well, you hit it right on the head, because God made a promise, and that promise is found in Numbers 13, where God says to Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." And when 10 of the spies came back, they were very pessimistic that they were going to be able to defeat these giants in Canaan and elsewhere, the ites, so to speak. And therefore, God gave them a temporal consequence where they had to go back into the wilderness until all those, except for Caleb and Joshua, who were over 20 years old, died. And then we are now talking about the 40 years are up, and you have a new generation of young people who've been going through the wilderness, and they're anxious now to get into the land of Canaan.
Have they really learned anything? I mean, they seem to have a pretty pessimistic view of the last 40 years.
They are definitely having a pessimistic view, and they're overly optimistic. For example, in the verses right before our text, God permits them to deliver up the Canaanites. They utterly destroyed them in their cities. And now they wanted to go through Edom in order to get to the land of Canaan. But the problem is the Edomites will not let them go. And God has already indicated that the Edomites are actually relatives of Israel, and therefore they should honor what the Edomites are saying, and they need to go around Edom, which is a longer journey to Canaan. And so the complaints begin, even by these people.
And they sound just like the complaints that we heard 40 years earlier. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Talk about that.
Yes, my technique for a foundational structure, if you're going to read the Bible, do a Sunday school lesson or a Bible study, I spoke a little bit about it previously. I've got three words. They all start with E: exegesis, Emmaus, and ecclesia. First of all, you have to do proper exegesis, which means you look at the text to see how is God speaking to the people of that day. And you not only find out what the text means, but you also develop your law and gospel for that day. And as you were saying, there's three problems that they have. They have impatience, they have arrogance, and they are ungrateful. They're impatient, and that's found in Numbers 21:4, because they're impatient to go on the longer journey. They think that they defeated the Canaanites, and they kind of forget, even though it was just previous to that, that it was God who allowed them to defeat the Canaanites, but they think they can handle it themselves. So even though in Deuteronomy 2, God says that Edom was the land of Esau's descendants, and therefore Israel and the people of Edom are brothers, so Israel needs to respect the people of Edom. So God just says you got to go on a little longer journey, and they are impatient. It's as though they never read about Abraham and Sarah. You know, I find that astonishing that, first of all, Sarah is 65 years old when God tells her she's going to have a baby. She's already past childbearing age. Abraham is 75. Well, you know how quick God was. 25 years later, she had a baby when she was 90 and Abraham was 100. And remember, because of his impatience, he said, well, maybe God only means that the baby comes through me, so I'll find this other woman, and he had a child through another woman. But there's an example of impatience. You think they would have learned it, but they didn't. The second item of law is they're arrogant. They think they defeated the Canaanites in Numbers 21:3. They do not give God the credit for the victory, so they think, no, we can go ahead right through Edom, even defeat them if we have to, and we don't have to listen to God. That's called arrogance. And finally, ungratefulness. They start loathing, and the Hebrew word there can mean detest or abhor the manna, which can be translated as miserable bread, light bread, or worthless bread. And you see, a lot of times when I was a kid, I did not like eating certain vegetables. I always wanted to get to the dessert and the ice cream. When I said, no, I don't want those peas, what I was really saying to my mother is, I'm angry at you. Well, what are you giving me peas for when you know I don't like them? And you see, they themselves were ungrateful, but being ungrateful for the manna meant they were actually attacking the source of the manna, who is none other than God himself. So that is really severe law that we get from a proper exegetical interpretation. And the three items, once more, are impatience, arrogance, and ungratefulness.
In verse 6, it says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Now, pausing there, do they realize that their complaint about the manna was really, as you just said, a complaint against God himself?
I think they get to that point, and I'll tell you why. The text that I remember is another person who said he had sinned against the Lord, and that was David himself with Bathsheba. After the prophet Nathan came to him and told him that wonderful parable about an individual who had stolen someone else's lamb and gave it to his guest, David said, bring that man here, and I will kill him. And then the King James is so beautiful. Nathan looks at David and says, thou art the man. And then immediately David says, I have sinned against the Lord. And immediately Nathan says, don't worry about it. Your sin is forgiven. You will not die. But there is a temporal consequence, and that's the death of the child. So this is really similar, and I do believe the people at this point do indeed have proper repentance here, or else God wouldn't have brought them a way of salvation.
So they realize in very quick order that their real complaint is against the God who brought them up out of Egypt, that this is Moses is also in there as well. God's response, however, is not to take the serpents away. Talk about that with a few minutes before our break.
That's because temporal consequences are not forgiven. For example, if I am going down the highway and I get arrested because I'm going over the speed limit, and it's a member of my congregation, and I do have policemen who were members, I would say, oh, I'm really sorry for that. Well, he doesn't say, oh, okay, you're forgiven, and he goes off. No, he says, Pastor, in the name of Jesus, I forgive your sin, and here's your ticket. In other words, the temporal consequences are not taken away by God a lot of times in order that we continue to learn and strengthen our new man against the old Adam. And in this case, if you remember, though all the people were forgiven who didn't want to go into the land of Canaan, they still had to wander another 38 years. And similarly here, the serpents continue to bite them, but God sets something up to help them.
And it is the fiery serpent. Is there any significance to the fact that the cure to which they are called to look is looks exactly like the problem that they're concerned about? About a minute here before our break, Tom.
Yes, that's a really good insight, because God does that in a lot of ways. Remember water. Water can be used to save through the Red Sea, but it can also be used to destroy, as the Egyptians that followed got drowned. And similarly with Noah, though the world was destroyed because of its sinfulness, Noah, by the water, was lifted up. So God tends to use elements in a way that we would never expect. For them to look at the serpent, the emblem of what was biting them, boy, that took faith of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. On this Friday afternoon, September the 7th, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson telling the story of the bronze serpent. There's much more to say. We will on the other side of the break. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. Pastor Tom Baker is director of development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about this radio program, Law and Gospel, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, well, the people are saved. They still get bit, but they do not die. But there's more to the story, because Jesus will actually mention this very story and apply it to himself and his cross. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, the bronze serpent story, from Numbers chapter 21. We base our conversations on a great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. And as you can see, and as Pastor Baker so well highlights in every one of our lessons, there is Christ on every page of the Old and New Testament. There he is in his saving work for us. There he is pointing us to himself and to his cross for our salvation. That's what Growing in Christ is all about. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample of Growing in Christ and you can see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Is this a picture of both faith and grace that the serpent is set up on this pole? The serpents themselves continue to bite the people, but no one needs to die anymore because it says when a man is bitten and he sees the serpent, it doesn't even say he has to run and go find it or look for it. When he sees the serpent, he lives. He doesn't die.
Yes. It shows that God's plan of salvation is always contrary to common sense. In fact, remember, there were a lot of people there, and I don't think the bronze serpent could have been placed in an area where everybody could see them. So people did have to try and get over to it, which again shows their faith. It reminds me of the blind man. Jesus didn't heal him. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I can only imagine his friends wondering, what are you doing walking down the street with your face all muddy? And, well, this guy told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and off he goes. But he had faith given to him by the Holy Spirit. And that's who would ever look at the cross of Christ in order, you know, for someone to be saved. It's kind of like the thief on the cross. The one thief says, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. The other thief says, what are you saying? And Augustine has a very interesting poem he wrote when he says, on the part of the one thief, he says, you call him Lord. Where is his crown but a crown of thorns? Where is his throne but the cross upon which he is affixed? Where is his royal robe but the blood that pours down? And where is his scepter but the stakes that are piercing his hands and feet? Why do you call him Lord? It doesn't make any sense. But through faith of the Holy Spirit given to us, we bow before Almighty God. And the Emmaus part, and remember what Emmaus is. We pretend that Jesus is on the road to Emmaus, and now he's talking about this text, and he's going to make a point where he's at. This is really easy, Todd, because it just so happened Jesus himself says it in John 3. He says, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So looking to Jesus not only takes care of maybe possible sickness and such, and definitely on Judgment Day, but it saves you eternally. Now, I don't know, have you ever seen an artistic drawing of Jesus on the cross in the form of a snake?
I don't think I have.
And in fact, I don't even think I've seen a drawing of Jesus in the form of a lamb, even though he said, this is the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world. But that's precisely what Jesus is, lamb and snake. And we would say, how is that possible? Well, Wycliffe, English theologian, he writes this, Christ in his own person is the sacrament of sacraments. Jesus, our living serpent, having the likeness of sin upon him, though he could not possibly sin, was suspended on the cross that those who are stung by the poison of the old serpent, sin, may become spiritually whole. And the verse I would use to back up that Jesus became sin, of course, is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. When Jesus on the cross says, my God, why have you forsaken me? My Bible actually has an answer. I wrote it in there. God responds to Jesus, I'm forsaking you because you have the sins of Tom Baker on your shoulders. He became sin for me and for you, Todd, and not just for Lutherans, not just for Christians, but for the entire world. So that's the essence of what this snake on a pole is all about.
He says, when I am elsewhere, he also talks about, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. And that's kind of the other end of John's gospel, talking again about being lifted up. We often talk about the cross as being the emblem of God's salvation. Is this why Christians so greatly value the symbol of the cross even today?
Yes, if Jesus would come today, let's say he would be executed, because whenever he would come, he would die for our sins. Let's say he's executed by a noose, a hangman. Guess what we would be wearing around the chains around our neck? We'd be wearing nooses. It just really is odd that the worst symbol of an execution, namely the cross of Christ, we Christians are happy to wear as a testimony of when Jesus as lamb or serpent went upon that cross, he was taking my sins away. And though we don't look to the cross, you know, later on, I believe it was Hezekiah that had to destroy the bronze serpent because people started looking at it as a magical kind of item. And I once had a member of my congregation who would not go on a plane unless she carried her cross in her purse. And one time she forgot it. She wouldn't go on the plane. And I told her that whether she had the cross or not, God's promises were still with her. And she should not have refused to go on the plane because she was looking to the cross as some amulet, some magical incantation.
Is this also why, in at least traditionally in the rite of baptism, with infants, we mark them, we trace the sign of the cross on their forehead and their heart?
Well said, because what baptism in the Lord's Supper does, it transfers in a visible way what you received through faith. So if you're an adult with faith, you already are saved, you're already forgiven, but you have no assurance of that outside of your faith, and who wants to rely just on their faith? So God attaches a promise to the waters of baptism that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And also, with the Lord's Supper, you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So that baptism and the Lord's Supper are not necessary to have, but if you want to have a real assurance based on God's promise rather than your feelings or your faith, that's why those two sacraments have been instituted by God himself.
So let's bring this kind of into focus in two different ways. First of all, with about a minute, what is the law and the gospel of this Numbers 21 text?
The law is, what I would show is, the children also become impatient, and when they do, they're really speaking against God. We become arrogant. We become ungrateful, and that's why passages like Psalm 27, wait for the Lord, be strong, is a promise he'll be there. Or Luke 18, verse 14, the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And of course, are you ungrateful? Remember the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and he promises to give everything that you need.
And then finally, with about a minute again here, Tom, what is the main point that we want to make in Sunday school with these children this week based upon this story of the serpent on the pole?
In our sin, we need not dismay because Jesus became the serpent, the lamb, the Savior on the cross, and for one purpose, to be forsaken by the Father because he was carrying the sins of the children, and therefore you will never be forsaken by the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross and in his resurrection for you.
Next time we'll talk with Pastor Tom Baker about the children of Israel entering the promised land. Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society, and he's host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Monday on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a five-part series with Dr. Lane Berglund on biblical interpretation. Now, you've started reading the Bible. Maybe you've gone to church your whole life, but, you know, there's some guilt attendant to this. I know what it's like. You haven't read much of the Bible. You don't know much of the Bible. This series that starts Monday is for you. It's a simple primer into understanding the Bible that everyone can understand. It will guide you through for those five parts of next week's series and end with a kind of a word of comfort for those who find themselves frustrated in their Bible reading and their Bible study. That starts Monday on Issues Etc. Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this week, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, any size gift is deeply appreciated, and for first-time donors, we will send you the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. It's brand new, just for first-time donors to Issues Etc. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support. Christ has given himself over the image of sin because he is bearing your sin at the cross, not just some of it, but all of it. Not just your sins, but the sins of the whole world. There, at the cross, at Good Friday, all the sin ever committed from Adam until the end is punished in Jesus himself. And so that means your sins are forgiven. So that means you do not face the punishment for your sin. There are temporal consequences, of course there are. But eternal punishment, God's wrath forever, eternal death that you deserve, no, not for you. Christ suffered that already for you, that he might give you his life and his forgiveness. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.